In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have become your father"? Or again, "I will be his father, and he will be my son"? And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." In speaking of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels spirits, and his servants flames of fire." But about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. The scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." He also says, "In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment they will be changed, but you will remain the same, and your years will never end." To which of the angels did God ever say, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who wouldn't inherit salvation? We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by the gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. This is the word of the Lord.
This is kind of, if you're new here, or this is one of your first couple of times, we're really glad that you're here with us. As Kirsty said, we've got a barbecue afterwards, jumping castle, everything. Do stick around. We'd love to get to know you and hang out a bit more. But to start off, I've got a question for you to think about. What do you reckon would make a 12-year-old girl go into her backyard and even get anywhere close to a wild snake? Maybe Taylor Swift would. But I don't think Taylor Swift is asking 12-year-old girls to do that. But, I mean, just thinking about myself, there's hardly anything that would make me go into my backyard and want to wrangle with a snake, or even a spider for that matter, but that's another story. In fact, the other day, we were in here just testing this building out. I went in through this door here, and a big kind of huntsman spider, it must have been about this big, jumped out. And, well, I tell you, I let out a squeal that made me sound like a 12-year-old girl then, but... But I want to check out a video here. The quality on the video is not great, but you should be able to make out what's going on here. You can see kind of in the top corner there's the girl, and she's kind of mangling around in the bushes there. And in a moment, she's going to pull something out of the bushes. And because I've already set this up, you know what it is, right? Here comes the dog to have a look. And now she's got it by the tail. She's swinging around a snake. And you can see there's something white at the other end in the snake's mouth. That's her pet guinea pig. Here comes Dad. Dad gets the guinea pig away from the snake. The snake goes that way and crawls off. Now the dog comes in for a look over here too. And if we wait long enough, it's going to show us a slow motion replay of this girl, 12-year-old, and here she is swinging a snake around by the tail in her backyard because it's got hold of her pet guinea pig. Now, none of us know this girl, unless someone here wants to stick up their hand and say they do. No, it's fine. None of us know this girl at all, but all of us can tell what is important to her, right? Her pet, the little guinea pig. His name is Maxibon. He's important to her. Why else would she get anywhere near this wild snake? I wonder what's important to you. I used to think that my appearance wasn't too important to me, you know, just get out there and we'll look at this mug anyway, so who really... The other day though, you know, just yesterday morning, I felt like there was a pimple that was growing on the top of my nose and I thought, gee, how do I get up in front of a bunch of people and speak with a big pimple on the end of my nose? But thankfully it didn't eventuate. But I wonder, what is important to you, seriously? Is it the weekend where you get to do what you want? Maybe there's a sporting team that you follow, or it's your kids, your family, maybe comfort, just a comfortable life, your work, having a good time might be important to you. Maybe life goals that set yourself, maybe even just leading a quiet life is really what you want. I'm not sure, and I suspect in a room with this many people, there's going to be a whole range of things that are important to us, but what is it for you? What's important for you in life? Today, really, that's the question that we're being asked. Mikey just read to us from the Bible, and he was reading from a part of the Bible called Hebrews. We don't know the person who wrote Hebrews, but it was written to some Christians. This is early days in Christianity, so we're talking about like 2,000 years ago. These people were Jews, and they'd become Christians, and they'd been Christians for a little while, but stuff has started to happen in their lives, and they're thinking of giving up now and turning back to just doing Judaism again. And Hebrews was written to them, and it says it over and over again. It's written to say, don't do it. Stick with Jesus, because Jesus is better. He's the really important thing in life. And I'm sure when Mikey was reading, you saw it over and over again. It was really clear. Jesus is more important. Jesus is more important than angels. That was the real key thing there. Or as verse 4 put it, Jesus is superior to angels. And before we get into this, I just want to make a little quick side note about angels, if I can. Because if you talk to a lot of Australians today and you ask them, well, do you reckon angels are real? Most Aussies are probably going to say, no. You know, I've never seen one. I've never spoken to anyone who's seen one. No such thing. Which means that the part of the Bible we've been reading, it can sound a little bit weird, right? You know, it's talking about angels as if they're actually real. And you're right, actually. It is. The Bible does want us to believe that angels are real. And I want to say, actually, this is a good thing for us because it reminds us of something. It reminds us that Christianity isn't just about morality. The Bible isn't a big book of rules telling you do this, don't do that. Actually, the Bible's firstly all about God. It's all about Jesus. It recognizes that there's a spiritual world that we're part of. And the spiritual world is full of things that we can't see and we don't totally understand. The Bible's telling us that angels are real, that things like heaven and hell are real, that your eternity after this life matters. The Bible is telling us about this because these things are important and they're worth paying attention to. So with that note, let's just dig back into the passage and work through what it's saying there. As Mikey was reading again, you probably noticed there was lots of quotes all through the passage. The writer is quoting from the Old Testament. That's because the Old Testament is like, it's the Bible for the Jews. Again, these people are thinking, they're thinking of going back to being just Jews, and ditching the Christian part of their life. But they're being shown time and time again, even from their own book, from the Old Testament, don't give up on Jesus, because he's better than the angels. So, look again at verse 5, it said this, "For to which of the angels did God ever say, 'You're my son, today I've become your father'? Or again, 'I'll be his father and he'll be my son'?" Now, which angel did God say those things to? None, right? That's the point. But he did say them to Jesus. Because Jesus is better, right? Jesus has a better relationship to God the Father. Or again, look at verse 6, it says, "And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, 'Let all God's angels worship him.' In speaking of the angels, he says, 'He makes his angels spirits and his servants flames of fire.'" So there's a real clear difference, right? Now, angels are servants of God and they're supposed to worship Jesus. But Jesus is the one being worshipped by angels. Which again tells us, right, Jesus is better. And in the rest of the passage, it keeps going on. Like this in verses 8 to 10, it said that Jesus is eternal. He's always been there, but the angels are created. So again, Jesus is better. In verses 13 to 14, it says that Jesus is enthroned as God's king, but the angels are there to serve people. So again, Jesus is better. And the point is very clear, right? Jesus is better. He's more important. He is superior to the angels. And actually, on that, let me make just a second quick side note, if I can. Because some of this can sound a little bit harsh to us, right? I think most of us like to think that we wouldn't say that someone is superior to someone else, that no one is more important. We tend to think that everyone's equal. So, for example, it doesn't matter if you're the prime minister or a plumber. It doesn't matter if you're a millionaire or a miner, or if you manage the Maccas down the road here. We're all equals. Maybe you're better than me at something like footy or art or driving your car, but that doesn't mean you're a better person than me. You're not superior to me. Like, we're equals, right? This is what we think, and I think it's true. And the Bible would totally agree with that. In fact, I think it's an idea that comes from the Bible. But this passage isn't talking about two humans that are equal. It's talking about Jesus and angels. They're different kinds of beings. And it's saying that Jesus is better. He's more important than the angels. And as harsh as that might sound, I think deep down we get that. So let me explain. Imagine for a moment, we're going out to the barbecue afterwards, right? And imagine you're walking over to the barbecue and you accidentally step on an ant. Now, you're probably not going to lose any sleep over that. But imagine instead you're walking out to the barbecue and somehow you're not paying attention and you accidentally stepped on a dog that happened to be there. Maybe you're starting to feel a little bit bad now, but imagine instead then that you're walking out to get a sausage sandwich and you're not paying attention and you accidentally step on a baby. I reckon at that point you're not just feeling guilty, you'll realize it's going to keep you up at night, right? Because we think that babies are more important than ants, right? We get this idea. It's the same with Jesus and the angels. That is, Jesus and angels aren't the same. Jesus is superior. He is more important. He's better. But here's the big question you need to ask this passage. Why does it bother saying this at all? Like, just, if you're a believer, are you really confused? Are you really wondering, are the angels better than Jesus? I don't think so. You probably know the answer, right? Yeah, Jesus, of course Jesus is better than angels. So why bother saying this? We actually get our answer in the next little part. Just remember again, Hebrews, it's being written to Jewish people who've become Christians, but they're thinking of stopping being Christians and just going back to Judaism. And we said before that the big thing for the Jewish people is the Old Testament, that's their Bible. But especially important to Jewish people is the first bit of the Old Testament, what they call the Torah, the law. And the high point of all the Torah, or the high point of all the law, is the Ten Commandments. And you know the Ten Commandments, right? Don't murder, don't steal, and the other eight of them. These Ten Commandments were given to the Jews by God. What happened was this. One day their leader, Moses, went up a mountain. And there he brought two big chunks of stone, and God took the two big chunks of stone and he wrote down the Ten Commandments, and Moses brings them back down. And now that the nation has these Ten Commands from God. Except there's just one problem with that. And that is that the Jews believed that if anybody saw God, they could not live. God is too holy, he's too perfect. If you saw him, you'd die. So how does Moses get the Ten Commandments from God then? That's where the angels come in. The angels go between God and Moses, and they act there. They're the ones that take stuff between the two. That's where the angels come in. So verse 2, it talks about the Old Testament as the message spoken through angels. And this is why Hebrews has been saying that Jesus is better. That he's better than the angels. Because it's meant for us to, it says that so that we know the message Jesus brings is more important than the message spoken through angels. So have a look again at the whole of verse 2 now. It says this, "For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation?" How should we escape if we ignore the message that Jesus brings? And again, the point is not to say that the Old Testament is unimportant. No. It really is important. So how much more important then that we hear what Jesus says to us? And Jesus, he brings a wonderful message. It's a message there, it said, of salvation. At this point, the book of Hebrews doesn't tell us much about what their salvation means. But as we get further along into the book, we'll see more about this salvation. It's things like Jesus saving us from the fear of death. Jesus saving us from hell. Jesus saving us to things like life and freedom and an eternal home. This is a really important message Jesus speaks, isn't it? And so in verse 1, we're told this, that we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard. And the message from Jesus is so important, so what do we do with it? You pay the most careful attention. Let me tell you about a time when I was at school. I was in year 8. It was geography class, and our teacher was Mr. Jones. And Mr. Jones this day happened to be teaching us all about clouds. What are the different types of clouds and which type of clouds bring rain? And can I be honest with you right now and say, I remember nothing about clouds. It was so boring and I just stared out the window and thought about something else. Because, look, I just thought to myself, this stuff doesn't matter, does it? And it didn't. I was right. It didn't matter. At least until the next week when we had a class test, and maybe then it mattered a little bit. But the consequences of me not paying attention in year 8, that's pretty small, isn't it? But with Jesus, it's much, much bigger. So again, look at verse 1. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we've heard, so that we do not drift away. One day, and I guess we're going back 10 years or more here, I went canoeing with a couple of friends. We're in New South Wales at a place called the Barrington River. And we'd hired a few canoes from this place. What they did, you'd hire your canoe down here, and they'd drive you upstream, and you'd be able to go, and they'd pick you up at a certain point, and you'd be able to take you back. It was really fun. But before they let you go in the water, they had some instructions they had to give you, right? So they'd say, you know, when you get to the rapids, here's what you got to do, one thing or another. And one thing they said was, as you're going downstream, don't go near the edge of the water, and don't go near the edge of the river, because there's trees that overhang, and you'll get knocked into the water. So we get in, and you know, the first little while, we're all being really careful, because none of us had done much of this before. But after a little while, you know, you begin to feel a bit more confident, you have a bit more fun, and it's kind of easy because you're just floating downstream, it's not too strenuous. But one of my friends, Jordan, Jordan didn't realise what was happening because it was happening so slowly, but bit by bit by bit, he was just drifting towards the edge of the river. The current just took him that way, and he didn't think to paddle back in. And the next thing I know, there's a shout coming from over behind my right shoulder. I turn around and there's Jordo, and he's about to run right into an overhanging tree. And so, of course, he puts his arms up to stop himself, doesn't he? And so he ends up hanging onto the tree, and the canoe just keeps going out from under him until he's left dangling there and has to drop into the water. And it was kind of funny. Me and the other guy, we just spent the next 5 minutes laughing at him, really. But can I say, this didn't really matter for Jordo. He got wet, but it was, you know, summertime, he dried out pretty quickly, just gave us something to laugh about. And actually, before the end of the day, all of us had fallen into the water multiple times for all sorts of stupid reasons. But in the canoe, right, he drifted away. He drifted away from where he should be. The consequences, though, it's unimportant, right? Didn't matter. But to do this with the message of Jesus, to have this salvation that he brings, but then to slowly just drift away from it, that does matter, right? The consequences there are much bigger. You see what we're hearing about here? This is good stuff. This is important stuff. It's about Jesus bringing a message that's superior to what the angels brought, a message that means we ought to pay close attention so that we don't drift away. Right at the end, the writer here, he's reminding these Jewish Christians how they first became believers. They had actually not met Jesus. They'd never seen him with their own eyes or heard the things that he said. In that way, they're actually a lot like us, aren't they? But people who did meet Jesus, well, they'd come and they'd spoken to these Jewish Christians and they'd told them all about Jesus. So, verse 3, it says, "This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him." It's a reminder to them, this stuff that you're believing, this stuff is important because it's real. This is not a myth. Those who knew Jesus, those who saw Jesus, they've come and they've told us themselves. Jesus really is better. And so it's super important to pay attention to his message, to not drift away from his salvation. And for us, all these years later, it's still important for us too. You know, we might not have seen Jesus. We might not be able to meet the people who did see Jesus. But they wrote it down for us. So that all these years later, we can see through their eyes what Jesus did. We can hear through their ears what Jesus said. Because we've got it in our Bibles. And can I say, friends, this really is why we're starting a new church here in Para Hills. Because this stuff is important, right? So we just want people to have a chance to hear about it. We want to pay attention and we want to help other people pay attention because drifting away would be, oh, it'd be such a loss, wouldn't it? Reading this today helps us get to know what is important for this new church. As we want to be a church that digs deep into Jesus, into what he has to say. We want to be a church that pays careful and close attention together, that helps each other not to drift away. So as a church, week by week, here's what you can expect. That we want to be in the Bible. That we want to be hearing this message about Jesus, and the message that Jesus brings us, about who he is, about what he's done, and about the salvation that he brings to us. And we want to keep inviting people in to do this with us. So can I say to you, if you're here today and you're someone who's not really sure what to make of all the Jesus stuff yet, you wouldn't call yourself a believer, can I say to you, I am really glad you're here today. You might think that church is not the place for you to be, but I reckon church is an excellent place for you to be. You're so welcome to be here. And I actually want to invite you to keep coming along. Keep coming along because this is a place where you can figure out something that's really important. Now, come along, ask your questions, dig into this. This is important, so we'd love to sit with you just as you figure out Jesus for yourself. We'd love to help you where we can, if we can. In a little while, later on in the year, we're going to do this thing actually called the Life Series. The Life Series is really just, we meet over a few weeks, and it's just a relaxed space. We'll talk a little bit about the big things about Jesus. And our hope in doing that is just to help you figure out Jesus for yourself. You can come and ask your questions. You can come and sit back and just take it all in. But we'd love to invite you to come along to that in a little while, a little later in the year. But also, you could be here today and you're a believer, and maybe you've landed here today because you're looking for a new church, or maybe you're looking to reconnect with church after a while away. And can I say to you, you've probably already figured out you want to follow Jesus. So the question for you is, would you consider making this church to be your church? Because again, all this about Jesus has been saying to us, he's so important, but we want to pay attention, right? We don't want to drift away. And so if you're a believer looking for a new church, we'd love to invite you to come back. Keep getting to know us. We'd love to get to know you too. Stick around for a barbecue afterwards. And can I say also, soon we're going to run something that's called Belong. We just do lunch together And after lunch, I'll talk a little bit about our church and our heart as a church, give you a chance to ask any questions you might want to ask, and it'll help you decide if you want this church to be your church. But before we end, I just want to go back to the question that we started with today. What's important to you? Today, the Bible has been saying to us, hasn't it? Jesus, he's really important. The message Jesus brings is so important to hear. I wonder, will we let Jesus have that place in our lives? Won't you let Jesus have that place in your life? Let me pray for us that God would help us do this. Let's pray together. Our great God in heaven, we thank you so much for this passage which reminds us how important Jesus is and how important it is to hear the message of salvation he brings. So, Father, there's a bunch of us here today and we've come from all different backgrounds and all sorts of places already in our lives. Wherever we are, we pray you'd help us keep grasping hold of how important Jesus is. Help us figure it out if we need to. Help us stay committed to Jesus if we need to. Help us pay careful attention so that we don't drift away from so great a salvation. We need your help in this, God, because if we're left to our own devices, we'll just wander far off. So please be with us all, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.